China has issued a national ban on tobacco commercials, but reports show that tobacco companies have found a new advertising space, and it is the cyberspace. According to an online tobacco sales report, women and the youth are the new target consumer group for online tobacco sales. So let's look at this new report and what are the details that it's got for us?
Firstly, let's take a look at the background of the report. So it was released by the Beijing Center for Disease Prevention and Control. So it published the results of the 2018 China Internet Tobacco Sales Data Monitoring Report on April 15, 2019. And the report applied the technology of automatic recognition of keywords to survey and study the online advertisements and promotion of some tobacco enterprises. Though the report studied altogether about 52,000 pieces of information related to tobacco advertisement and promotion, and over 7,000 pieces of tobacco-related news, and nearly 50,000 pieces of information on discussion among smokers collected from January to June 2018. So the report aimed to help supervise the tobacco marketing and promotion information online. And it found out that now the new target has been women and teenagers. So by teenagers, we mean maybe the younger generation, maybe from the age from like 16 to 25 years old. They are becoming the major targets of the tobacco sales and promotion on the internet platforms.
So how do you see all of this, Neela? I mean, for one thing, we know that maybe big data has been used in a maybe helpful way, that actually it's the data that's been collected to come up with results and analysis on the placement of tobacco commercials or advertisement in the online space.
Well, basically what these companies are doing is, first of all, as we know, it's not just in China, it's like all over the world. Like, so most cigarette companies are not allowed to actively advertise their products. So what they're doing, they're basically just finding where their potential customers are. And right now, the consumer of the day, or the person they're targeting, are the younger generation. Now, where can you find these people? You can find them on the internet, because they spend much of their time on the internet. So, and we know that it's more like a subliminal, they experience something called like a subliminal influence, where you're being influenced to do something because you saw it, even though you're not really, they're not going to click on the advertisements, but it's gonna, the minute you see an advertisement or you see somebody smoking, then your brain triggers you to go and look for a cigarette. But you wouldn't know, these kids wouldn't know that they were actually influenced by the advertisement they saw. So and these companies do know that that's the way to go if they want to keep their products going, and if they want to, you know, achieve a younger market. And this market comes through this generation of students who are, you know, at this time they're rebellious, they're trying to find themselves, they're trying to go against the tide of what they're being told not to do. So they're being told don't smoke, then they'll go find a smoke, don't drink, then they'll go find a drink, because they're curious, like, why am I being told this? Not forgetting that amongst this generation, when they watch a lot of television, they're also influenced by seeing all these rebellion teenagers smoking on television, so they want to be like them. So obviously companies do understand that.
Yeah, well, the number of examples that you just gave us, I believe, sound like tactics that have been used sort of, you know, old as tale. Seeing these good-looking, attractive young actors on stage or in movies and puffing away and, you know, and somehow glorifying smoking. And that's sort of been banned in many countries. And in China, there's been so-called toughest ban on smoking ever. And while there's regulation clearly talking about not allowing smoking to be advertised on, I suppose, traditional avenues. But what's new here in the sense of how is this kind of advertisement targeting specific groups here, women and young people, being implemented?
I think with young people, especially women, we see with the emergence of social media, now people are comparing themselves. You have all these pictures of beautiful ladies, of beautiful models you look at on Instagram or whichever platform you're on. You look at these women and you want to be like them. And there's always been this belief where people believe that when you smoke cigarettes, it can suppress your appetite, which means you eat less, which means you don't gain weight. And most people these days believe that the thinner you are, the better, which is sort of like a really wrong belief. But it's something that everybody talks about on the internet. People want to look at somebody on a holidays lying down by the beach with a cigarette in their hands and looking as slim as ever. And these young people are convinced, because normally it's women who really care about their weight mostly. So they look at that and they want to be like that. And they try to follow every single step of this, call them, I don't know, somebody they follow maybe on Instagram or Facebook or, I don't know, Weibo. So it's more like, again, it's just another tactic because they know these people are influenced. They have, we have access to a lot of information that, for example, when I was young, we didn't have Facebook, right? So I didn't get that influence. But now you look at your friends, also there's that thing of social influence. Your friends are doing it, you're doing it. Or somebody you admire on a social media platform is doing it and you want to look like them. So you're going to try and look at what is the secret why they stay slim. Then you find out, oh, this person is a smoker or is a social smoker. Or maybe that's why so they eat less.
And what do you mean by social smoker?
A social smoker is more somebody who, you're not addicted to smoking, but you only smoke when you're around people who smoke. Personally, I am a social smoker. So depending on which friends I'm hanging out with, if I am with them and we're hanging out, then and somebody pulls out a cigarette, then I will ask for a cigarette. I don't actively go buying for a cigarette. I don't necessarily crave for it. But if you are with people who smoke, then you smoke. So it could be like maybe 2 cigarettes a month.
Yeah, but if you're not a I'm not a smoker, but yeah, I don't like the secondhand smoking, obviously. But also, I don't know. It's just kind of, it just doesn't feel good to I guess to join because you don't like the taste.
It's not about the taste, yeah. Actually, because actually, like, as somebody who smokes, I don't really think about the taste. Actually, most of the time when you have a cigarette, it's sort of like there's a different feeling. It kind of puts you in a, I don't know. There's a certain way of thinking. It's sort of like a brain. It helps your brain to be calm in a way. It's really hard to explain. It's very hard to explain. So for me, it's never about, I never actually think about how it tastes or I'm just doing it. No, it's just like automatically I would go like, because I know you smoke, I'll be like, do you have a cigarette, you know?
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that for me, I don't crave. I will put it this way. It's like the people who drink a glass of wine when they're having food. It doesn't mean they are alcoholics, but they enjoy having an occasional drink. So it's a similar thing with a cigarette.
I thought it'd be a little bit different because with the alcoholics example, then it would be when other people are drinking and then you're sort of, you want to join the discussion or whatever, and then you order a glass of wine too, when you yourself would probably not do so when you are alone. Isn't that kind of, well, social drinking? Anyhow, that's like a side thing.
To me, similar. To me, I don't see a difference. There's a really great line over there, yeah.
The atmosphere, really.
It's more about the atmosphere that if you're in that particular particular situation or scenario where people are doing it, you're more likely to do it, not because you don't even think about it, to be honest.
But sometimes, you know, like red wine or white wine, they especially red wine actually is healthy sometimes. It's not that harmful to your health, but apparently smoking is harmful behavior for
that
your
is
health.
Also like another, you know, it's a topic to discuss. That one minute they say it's healthy, one minute they say it's not healthy. So yeah. I like everything in life, I always say, do things in moderation.
Yeah, well, that is the golden rule. You will never lose.
Do things in moderation.
Yeah, with that in mind. But now when we see this sort of new commercial thing going on or advertisement trend going on. That is, social media has become sort of a new space for advertising and especially for tobacco companies. How is that manifested here in China?
I think the uniqueness of the form of advertisement here is called the hidden promotion, or we can say is the product placement in a very subtle way. So we can take a look at like which is the major platform that share this kind of advertisement. It's some user experience social media, for example, the Xiaohongshu. Because usually for women and teenagers, like whenever they want to make a purchase of something, they tend to go to those user experience sharing platforms to see other people's user experience and to get some knowledge before they make the purchase. And so now this is a new target for the potential smokers, because I think the men, and they have already become the loyal customers for those cigarettes companies, so they need to develop some new market or potential market. And then I think females and the teenager will be the best ones. And yes, because
new customers, huh?
Yeah, because they're easy to be, you know, convinced by those advertisement or the hidden advertisement. Sometimes they will use really, really touching words and sentences to attract you, to provide you with a really fantastic user experience of smoking, and it make you feel like smoking is not that harmful and you can enjoy it and it won't harm your health. And sometimes, ironically, usually those articles are start with, you know, we should refuse secondhand smoking and smoking is bad for health. But we provide you a new experience of trying some different kind of cigarettes, for example, e-cigarettes or some fruit flavored cigarettes, and you may think, oh, that not taste, or it seems not taste as strong or as unhealthy as the traditional tobaccos, but actually it's harmful the same way.
Honestly, I don't think about, there's nothing about cigarettes. I've never had somebody who smokes who sits down and says, I really like how this cigarette tastes. It's not about the taste. It's about the feeling you get from it.
But now they're trying to create a new taste for you.
I do understand that particular point. The point is, when you smoke like flavored, like menthol cigarettes, it's the menthol feeling in your mouth. It's the same thing when you chew a gum that is like really spicy versus a normal gum that's just blunt. Though the ingredients are the same, the only difference is the flavoring. It's not about the taste, it's about the fire you get in your mouth. It's the same thing when you eat like spicy food, you know, versus bland food. It's that feeling of like food going down your throat and it's burning. It's the feeling rather than the taste. It has nothing to do with taste.
But it just gives you an excuse to justify your behavior of smoking.
I don't think so. If somebody wants to smoke, trust me, if you want to smoke, you will smoke. It's all about the influence. For example, if you hang out or if you spend a lot of times around people who smoke, at some point you will be influenced to try out. And the next time you're like, oh, it's not that bad. And then the next time and then in the process, you find yourself, you know, becoming a smoker. But the difference is you like somebody like me, you choose to know, to understand that I cannot allow myself to be addicted to this. Cause I've seen so many of a few of my friends who are like really addicted. And when they want to smoke, especially they smoke even 10 to 20 cigarettes a day. And mostly, especially when they are under stressful situations, so they use that to cope with it, or they want to think, you know. And when they smoke a cigarette, it actually calms them down. It makes them sort of like, I don't know, it changes the way your brain is wired in a way, you know. And ideas start flowing. Otherwise, they will just start panicking, because if they don't find a cigarette, then they are like, you know, they are very anxious, you know. So at the end of the day, if somebody really wants to smoke, they will smoke. And if I don't think, I didn't just wake up, because I came from a family where nobody smokes, right? Mm-hmm. But when I came to, and when I was in college, I never touched a cigarette. Mm. When I moved to China, people are smoking everywhere. So, and most people you're around, they're smoking. At some point, I was bound to, when I'm hanging out with people, when I'm at dinner, somebody pulls out a cigarette, and then you're like, I'll try. And then you know, years later, you just know like you're in the habit. But now I know, I cannot allow myself to be addicted because I know it's harmful. right?
Yeah, this is really interesting what's going on here in China, because we've been talking about the smoking ban in public places since this show started, and we saw that there was some major stride made in that area in banning smoking in public areas in 2015. And increasingly, especially in Beijing, it's where it's implemented very fiercely. So now I think it's quite one positive thing. Silver lining here is that I think there is that awareness in, you know, checking with people if you before you lit the cigarette, and well, in, let's say, nice places, certainly you can't smoke indoors. And then if you want to puff a smoke, go outside, that kind of thing. And it's important that, you know, with these awareness campaigns that actually it sees some result in that regard. But when you look at the sales of tobacco and cigarettes in this country, it's still pretty high. We don't see a dip in the sales volume. So that is the part that's really interesting, that in the sense, okay, on the one hand, people have more social etiquette, possibly in certain areas, that you're not smoking in a room where indoors, and especially when you've got like pregnant ladies or people who are non-smokers, and then you don't smoke around them. Great. But on the other hand, it's like, okay, people are still buying. And if not, there are new customers that are buying. Therefore, the sales figures can kept afloat that high.
I think it's all to do with the age groups. For example, if you look at the older generation, for them, they smoke because they are addicted to it. They cannot do about it. They grew up doing it. They've been doing it for so long. Then you look at the age, and it, just me looking at just my friends alone. Most people, most of my friends who are, let's say, 27 to, I would say, 40 years old, they don't really smoke because they don't have time. They're just busy, you know, working. Then you have the older generation who are like, cannot do without a cigarette. They give, like, if you give them a packet of or a gift as a packet of cigarette, that's, they will really appreciate that. When you look at the younger generation, it's more, they don't, they're not really addicted to it. They more, they do it more as a fad. It's a fashion. When I'm holding, when a young person right now is holding a cigarette in their hands, it's more like a prop, you well, know, to make they think they look cool. You know, it's more like a fad. It's like whether they're gonna quit or not, it's up to them. Because okay, it's like in this country, I've been to countries where, like, you buy a cigarette, okay, and you. It has the scariest images pasted on it. But the people don't care.
But you, but also I wonder if there are people who are being sort of see this as a deterrent and they're not touching it as well. I mean, of course,
I would say there are people, like people who really like have reached that point of maybe they've smoked maybe one or two cigarettes. Yeah. Maybe they're like beginners in the social circle. So they will look at that and will get scared. But somebody who's already used to it and been smoking for a while, trust me, it doesn't do nothing.
Well, here I think it's important to discuss that how do people become hardcore smokers? And this is one of those habits that possibly could stay with you for a long time. As according to a study published on The Lancet last year, a research team at the Tongji Hospital affiliated to the Tongji Medical College, Huachong University of Science and Technology, did a study on smoking in China from 2003 to 2013. They found that 78% of smokers started to smoke, well, since their teenage period. So it stays with you for a lot of people. I mean, so that's important for educators and health experts, I suppose, to they're talking about how can you stop it before it's too late. Because if we say that smoking is a bad thing, right? But here's an interesting thing. If smoking is a bad thing, well, it's still allowed, right? It's one of those certainly not healthy things.
No, it's telling. It's like telling somebody who really loves eating hamburgers. You think that person doesn't actually know hamburgers are not good for you? They do know. It's at the end of the day, it's all about, you have to look at the root cause of why these people are doing this. One, with teenagers, could be influence and social media and stuff like that. And also you have to look at, I think there's a huge difference between like the level of education, the kind of job somebody has. So a lot of, as you, a lot of people who tend to get addicted in the process are people who maybe their social status is lower. They're much poorer. So if you look at a lot of rich people these days, that people who, you know, to them, like, the cigarettes is not, it's, cigarettes are no longer something glamorous to do. And if you see a rich person smoking these days, they probably have a, what is it called from Cuba? What do they smoke in Cuba?
Cigar.
Oh, they have a cigar.
I think now the trend is trying to turn into some point. So besides, like, blame the smokers for this habit, we should also blame the tobacco companies, because they're trying to beautify or just to make the image of smoking fancier than before.
Well,
they are
but
trying
they're not
to de-
forcing
no, they are
to
trying to
it.
Develop the products catering for their customers' needs.
Yeah.
For example, we have some keywords here like blast, slim, and icy. And so take blast, for example. It refers to a capsule hidden in a filter tip. And when you smoke, you break the blast and the liquid essence in the blast comes out, offering different flavors. And this kind of thing give you less smell of cigarettes and satisfy female consumers' psychology of entertaining and curiosity. For example, I think most people know it's harmful of smoking, but they can't resist the temptation of smoking. So what they do, they just try this kind of like more healthy, the healthier or more fancy type of cigarettes. It
no,
just
a
feel
cigarette
like
is a cigarette is a cigarette. No,
but it gives
the...
you a better feeling. You just use this as an excuse to justify your behavior. It's just like you eating ice cream on a yoga ball. You just feel less guilty of doing that.
I don't think so. I mean, if some honestly, if somebody really wants to, if I mean, cigarette companies know this and governments know this. Like where I come from in Kenya, for example, the government every year when they announce the fiscal year of the budget for the next fiscal year, every year the first things to be hiked that for their VAT or their tax to be hiked are usually cigarettes and alcohol. But people still buy these things. Yeah, somebody would rather not have lunch but have afford to buy a stick of cigarette. And it's not because maybe they're addicted. It's just to them, it's I don't know. It's the feeling they get from it. Or how maybe they're too stressed in life. So that's the only thing they have control over that cannot stress them.
Well, why can't you pick something else of a guilty pleasure? Or
maybe they don't like other things.
Well, the thing here, also just a little point to add about female smokers. Actually, they're... could be this burgeoning phenomenon also happening here in China. That is, sometimes it's women with money and a pretty high level of education, but she smokes and she could possibly be smoking those really slim cigarettes. There's something about a woman doing something that is perceived as bad by society.
No, but you see, now that's again, that's stigmatizing women. So why shouldn't a woman be allowed to do it if a
man
can do it?
See, and then smoking has been used as one of the things a woman picks up to show empowerment. I don't necessarily think I like that.
I have never had anybody sit down and say, you know what, I'm smoking because I am empowered. People, you smoke because you like, you eat hamburgers because you like eating hamburgers. I will judge you,
and
but it's your problem.
Exactly, and that becomes something that is entangled with sexism or empowerment of some sort, and we don't have time to go into depth now. You're listening to Roundtable.